When Ed McMahon died earlier this week, it had been more than 17 years since he'd appeared as Johnny Carson's sidekick on The Tonight Show. But he certainly left a mark with his hearty laugh opening, "Here's Johnny." And on the night of his death, The Tonight Show's newest sidekick, Andy Richter, paid tribute with his host, Conan O'Brien.
I just was thinking about this during the commercial break. A thought occurred to me that I just wanted to mention just how perfect Ed McMahon was at complimenting Johnny Carson. You know, he had this innate ability that you can't manufacture.
He knew exactly when to talk. That was the thing. He picked his moments, and they were perfect. And that was the key to his greatness.
He picked his moments, and they were perfect.
He had, you know, like, he also knew when to shut up, too. And that, I think that's possibly more important, you know?
Yeah.
Andy Richter allowed us to get in a couple of questions when we sat down with him in his office at the Tonight Show Studios in Universal City, California. We asked if he'd studied Ed McMahon or other sidekicks before taking over the podium across from Conan.
I don't really look to other people to kind of define my role in something like this. And it's not something to be proud of as it sounds, because it's mostly out of laziness. I just decide to go my own way, because otherwise you'd have to study something. So, you know, it is a talk show and it's The Tonight Show. And I'm very aware that this is, it's not our show. We're taking over an institution and we're sort of caretakers. And it doesn't really belong to us. It belongs to everybody. As highfalutin as that sounds, but I feel that more on The Tonight Show than I did on Late Night. Mm-hmm. It's our own identity, but it's in a much more limited free space, I think, for us to put our imprint, because there's a certain level of things that people want from this show. Mm-hmm. And we have to listen to that, I think. You know, this is not the place to run your experimental film. It's The Tonight Show, you know.
If I may, do you think of this as a return or coming back to a new show, The Tonight Show?
Well, I hadn't really considered it in such blunt terms, but it's both, because it's a new show, it's a new place, it's definitely not the old show. Mm-hmm. But I know everybody, and I've been in the same atmosphere. Everything, the show, if viewed from outer space, is the same, but it's different.
I wonder if in your mind you have any two or three ideas as to what makes a show like this work.
Well, first and foremost, I think if you start to just aim for what you think the audience wants to hear, you are already hamstrung, because nobody knows what anybody really wants, what they want to see. So the only thing that you can do is do something that you think is funny. And I don't mean become a big artiste, but do try to tickle your own funny bone as much as you can and hope that you have a sense of humor that other people can relate to.
Without mentioning any names, unless you really want to, can you recall meeting a celebrity in this circumstance that was markedly different than what you thought they were or what their image was?
David Bowie, because growing up and hearing about rock and roll lore about David Bowie, he'd lose months at a time because he was on so many drugs, and he put a cigarette out in a rock critic's ear who had given him a bad review, and he was just possibly one of the nicest, politest, chattiest, at ease, contented people I had the pleasure to meet. Mm-hmm. That's always nice, because there's very few of the people that are doing this that you feel a real sense of this is a real person here, because it's an incredibly plastic atmosphere. Just a talk show in the publicity machine. You really do have to put on some armor when you go into it, because it's a sausage grinder.
Well, this is something people have complained about, and not just critics, that shows like this with Jack Parr or even Johnny Carson used to talk to people. Uh-huh. And somebody wasn't on necessarily just because they were in a new movie.
Yes, Peter O'Toole.
Peter O'Toole. Yeah. Carl Sagan used to come on The Tonight Show.
Yeah, exactly. Just to be interesting,
Now, both you and Conan have interesting, wide-ranging minds.
Well, thank you.
But do you have the latitude to do that here?
It's very rare, and in fact, when people do come on and they don't have anything to plug, it's now such a rarity that it has to be mentioned. I'm not here to plug anything, and it seems like such a novel idea. like it or don't like it, the more surefire thing is the big names, and the big names come out when there's something in it for them. Because if you'll notice, anyone who ever gets any kind of clout stops doing interviews almost immediately. You never hear Robert De Niro interviewed. You never hear Jack Nicholson interviewed, because they've reached a point where they know that it's as close to doing door-to-door sales, which I did a little bit of. It feels like that.
What did you sell door-to-door?
I worked for my uncle. My uncle had a factory supply business, which was pallet racks and lockers. And
were you ever funny? Did you ever try to be funny?
No, it was far too depressing to be funny. I waited tables, too. I waited tables a few different times. And I remember after working there for months, one of the waitresses saying, like, I didn't know you were funny, because it took me a couple months to be funny, because keep your head down. That's always the way I felt in work, in the real workplace. That's why I had to retreat to the fake workplace like this, where you're sort of expected to knock holes in walls and, you know, use a real bowling ball to go bowling in the hallway, things like that.
Could we get you putting some golf balls?
Sure.
Assuming you do that. And that's
yes,
not
I
just
do.
A prop.
Okay. Not a lot, but it's better to do it out in the hallway, because you can do the longer putts and then you get some, some money goes on.
Andy, that must have been about 75 feet, wasn't it?
They can tell it from the roll sound, but it's not that long.
You just hit it very soundly, and it's a quick roll.
Yes.
Yeah. You have a family, right?
I do. I have an 8-year-old boy and a 3-year-old girl. She was doing pre-verbal comedy bits. She used to make faces before she could speak that were just to make people laugh. Because my wife could say, like, do that face, and she'd, you know, when a tiny baby that can't speak is mugging, it's quite an amazing thing. Oh, this is her speaking different languages.
I want to say
what language is that? My wife
will say Korean.
She's great.
Yeah. And my boy's good. He's great, too.
They know what you do for a living?
They're starting to more. My son definitely, being in the movie Madagascar and the Madagascar 2, having a voice in that and taking him to the premiere, I think he kind of starts to realize that I have a job that's actually kind of fun. They're still ultimately unimpressed with me, but they do know that somehow I lucked into this nice position.
I enjoyed a couple of things I saw you do when you were not on... You know, during the interregnum.
Were these work things or just things you spotted me doing around town?
I meant work things, of course, yeah. And are you going to have the time or inclination to do that now that you're doing this?
You know, once Conan asked me if I would like to take this job and I said yes, then it became a conversation more between managers and lawyers and all of that. And one of the things that came up in that conversation was, Conan had given me his sort of, you know, just conversational assurance that I would be able to eventually go out and do some other things. And I definitely intend on holding him to that. But I just started on the new version of The Tonight Show. I think I can, maybe I'll just focus my energies here for a year or so. It is The Tonight Show, after all.
Andy Richter in his new office at the Tonight Show Studios in Universal City. You can hear more from him, including his opinion of the controversy surrounding David Letterman's Sarah Palin joke, on our blog, npr.org/soapbox.